Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're rolling into hour two here. Okay, did some jumping jacks in the corner. We're going to make it through this. Charlie, how you feeling? You doing good?
Rock and roll. Let's keep talking about this good draft class, Jeff.
A fun
draft class.
I'm feeling great.
I gave it an A, and there's a reason for it. I really did love a lot of picks.
I'm proud of you for giving it an A.
I mean, a lot of places are. I think PFF gave it an A+.
Right.
PFF gave it one of four teams to get an A+.
And they hate the Saints draft strategy. Like, it's so funny. Like, all these draft heads hate how the Saints operate. And I was beginning to think that they just had no, you know, ability to actually appreciate what the Saints did because they were just so mad about it all these other years. But hey, you know, it doesn't mean anything. I disagree with them most years, but hey,
value,
you know,
value. I will pound the table on the value picks that the Saints made.
Speaking of value picks, okay, I'm Jeff Nowak, he's Charlie Long, Colin Steele. We're value picks, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Another value pick, Spencer Rattler, 150 overall. This is kind of going to be the Rattler hour, as you called it, because I, you know, for good reason, I think a lot of Saints fans are excited about Spencer as an option, as a prospect, as a developmental quarterback. And the nice thing is you got him in the fifth round, so there's not a lot of pressure. You don't have to expect him to be the guy right away, but there's talent there. You know, like D.A. said, you know, it's a guy who a couple years ago, before there was a lot of this adversity.
It's a slam dunk first-round pick.
People are talking about number one overall. Like,
yes.
Like legitimately, like you had mentioned Shedeur Sanders is the early number one
so
overall pick.
Yeah, so let me explain that real quick. Was that they're looking ahead to the 2025 draft, and the early betting favorite to be the number one overall pick is Shedeur Sanders,
which is crazy.
From Colorado, which 100% is crazy.
But
like,
I mean,
they also had Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers, like Carson Beck from Georgia, Quinn Ewers from Texas in that conversation. I remember really thinking it was funny that the combines that A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy had, like, the person that hurt the most from this was Quinn Ewers, the guy that was throwing to them. So we'll see what happens this year in college football. And obviously there's always a person that stock just skyrockets, like Jaden Daniels, the number two overall pick in this class after
winning
the Heisman.
Means nothing.
It means 100%. It means nothing. So someone is going to come out of nowhere and be one of those top three picks for 2025. But as far as you're talking about Rattler, at a time, you know, he was the top prospect coming out of high school. He goes to Oklahoma.
A golden arm guy,
Yeah, I mean, and people will kind of point to, like, the QB1 stuff and, like, the tape that he has when he was younger and that it doesn't look very good about how he kind of treated the people that he was around and stuff like that. And
it was
character
rough.
Concerns. It really was. But there's something to be said about being humbled a little bit. And I think when Caleb Williams went to OU, because let's kind of talk down the timeline of
guy
what
who never
with
got
Spencer
humbled.
Rattler. Well, yeah, Caleb Williams goes to OU to work with Lincoln Riley. He takes Spencer Rattler's job at OU, and then Lincoln Riley goes to USC, and Caleb follows him there. He wins a Heisman there. He becomes the number one overall pick. That's what it is. What Rattler ends up doing when he leaves OU, he goes to South Carolina, and he ended up kind of having a much more –
with Shane Beamer, a guy that he obviously had worked with previously.
Yes, but it was a much, like, quieter kind of road for someone like Spencer Rattler.
Everyone gave up on him.
Yeah,
everyone gave
100%.
Up on him.
Versus someone like Caleb Williams, who went to USC to stay with Riley, ends up winning the Heisman, ends up being the number one overall pick the next year. So it's got to be pretty humbling, especially because he got taken in the same draft class as someone that took his job and became the number one overall pick. And he goes at 150 after a lot of people projected him to still be a second, third round pick. He falls all the way into the fifth. So you talk a little bit about the potential boom with this pick, with this player. But at the same time, if it doesn't boom, it's a fifth round pick, Jeff.
Right.
Like, you took a very high ceiling player in the fifth round, someone that you didn't expect to be there. Once again, drafting best player available on your board. Like, when we were previewing day two and talking about round two, we talked about all these positions that the Saints could possibly fill with this 45th overall pick. They end up seeing, and I think John Hendricks tweeted this out about Kool-Aid, was the number two guy on their board entering day two, right. And he fell, you know, to 41. They had to go up and get him. So they made sure that they went up and scooped him up. I think they jumped the Texans at 42, I believe, who would have probably taken a cornerback at that spot.
Yeah.
So you went and secured your guy. With Rattler, once again, like a very high ceiling prospect, best player available on their big board, and they got him in the fifth round.
And they didn't have to trade up.
Value. So
I mean, now, you talk about Kool-Aid real quick, just to recap everybody. 41, that was us taking Kool-Aid. 40, Cooper DeJean, CB.
Yeah.
The pick after us, cornerback, and the pick after that, cornerback. So he could have been gone at 45.
Cooper was a surprising fall.
I think it's very likely he would have been gone, right? Like
100%.
I had people say, oh, why did you spend assets to go up to 41? Like, because you didn't think he was going to be there, and there's good reason to think that, considering the picks all around him were cornerbacks.
Well, the run,
active run on cornerback.
Early in the second round was defensive tackle and receiver. The first seven picks were defensive tackle and receiver, and then there was kind of like that mini run on cornerback. So if you wanted to go secure, you know, once again, the number two guy on your board entering day two, they had to go do it. But we're talking a little bit too much about Kool-Aid. I was just kind of talking about
this is the Rattler hour.
The Rattler hour, correct. The Rattler hour, as we call it. But, I mean, that's just what you talk about when you're talking about Spencer Rattler at round five at pick 150 is the value. The value was there. Like, this was a guy that was probably in the 70s or 80s on a lot of big boards. Once again, a former, you know, as you mentioned, number one overall pick projected. And he kind of follows a little bit of a humbling path after what happened at Oklahoma, where he gets benched. Caleb Williams takes his job. He goes to South Carolina. He ends up being a day three pick. But he's still got that ceiling. He's still got the talent.
I mean, you say day three. Like, day three could be mid-fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round pick.
You know, and I'm a little biased because my dog is a big Gamecocks fan, right? So I'm not making that up. She has a Gamecocks collar.
Describe that.
But my dog.
Like, your dog's a
big Gamecocks fan. Yeah, she runs around the house going, game!
She's not a UConn fan?
No, she's a Gamecocks fan. Yeah. Okay. She runs around the house going, game! And I have to yell, Cox! You know, that's the cheer. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. I tweeted a picture yesterday. She wears a Gamecocks collar. It's a thing. Anyway, I'm biased, so I want to let Dennis Allen tell us why he felt like Spencer Rattler was the right pick at 150. Charlie, or Colin, can you hit that?
The quarterback position is kind of funny in terms of the draft, you know, and where people see guys and where you go and take them. I mean, obviously with so many quarterbacks going early in the draft, then there was a lot of other positions that now became available throughout the rest of the draft. And I just felt like, look, we had a nice grade on him and felt like, I mean, it was pretty obvious as you're sitting there watching the draft go and you know, you kind of got this one name sitting over there and we'd been sitting around for a while, you know, really all the third, all the fourth, and a little bit of the fifth before we got an opportunity to pick. So, and a lot of the second. So we sat around for a little while, and that name just kept staring at us, you know. And so when it became our time to pick, it was, you know, really obvious that was the right choice.
So to me, one of the telling things there of the Saints draft strategy is, you know, this is a guy they were watching, right?
Oh, yeah.
When he says the name is staring at you, it's because you're like, this is a guy we want. We have to wait. And one of the reasons this pick feels like such a good value is because
they didn't get impatient.
In past years, you might have seen them say, I think he's going to go. We're gonna ship out a couple extra assets, go up and get this guy, make sure we get our guy. They didn't do that this year. They allowed the board to come to them. And I think that's a strategy you got to kind of – you want him to take, right? Like, especially for a guy who – we don't even know if he's going to beat out Jake Haener, right? Like, he's going to compete with Jake Haener for the backup role this year. And maybe Kellen Mond. You know, it's kind of funny because Kellen, prior to this, I would say Kellen is going to be in competition with Jake Haener. Now Kellen kind of feels like a tutor.
that QB2 battle, and even before, like, Spencer Rattler was the pick, was always going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And now it's super very interesting. Yeah, 100%.
I don't remember. I can't remember the Saints having five quarterbacks, and that's not even including Taysom Hill. They have five quarterbacks in the room right now.
Yeah, it's Peterman, it's Hayner, it's Mond, it's Carr, and it's now Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, and you're going to want to – you know, that's going to be the interesting thing to watch, you know, independent of that, too. How many QB reps do you get Taysom? Because you do want to get him some QB reps. So, like, there, like, a lot of times you'll have, like, a day, okay, this is the Taysom QB day. You're going to have so many – you only have so many reps to throw around. Who's actually getting reps?
Back to Rattler, when the guys were talking to him after he got picked, he seemed really intelligent.
Yes.
That was something that jumped off the page to
very
me.
Very mature.
Like, when right. listening to him, very mature, very intelligent. A lot different from, like, the persona that he had with that QB1
right,
show.
Right, that's why you go back and you watch those clips from that show, and you're like, this is the same guy?
He seems to have very much matured, and yeah. once again, a humbling experience can do that to someone. But with Rattler, the way he was talking about his mechanics, I thought that kind of stood out to me as well. A lot of great lower body mechanics when he's throwing, or with his throwing motion.
Yeah.
Mike kind of pointed out that his... you know, his throwing motion, like the
it's
actual
pure.
Throw,
it's
it
clean.
Looks like
right.
like a shortstop yeah. in baseball. And he talked about his background. He played all these different sports. He did play shortstop when
he's
he was
growing
up. He's had
the same QB coach since he was like 12 years old, which
yeah.
is, I think, is helpful.
And he's kind of refined those mechanics. He's yeah. worked on it. He said he loves – he dealt it. What stood out to me as well was when he was asked about who he models his game after, he said he doesn't really want to model his game after anyone in particular, but he loves watching tape. I thought that was pretty interesting. He loved watching tape of like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying to forget. Matt Stafford was the third one that he used. Those are three pretty good quarterbacks that kind of take stuff to add to your game from. So Spencer Rattler, super, super intriguing pick. I mean, once again, as I mentioned earlier, I texted my buddy when the pick was made. It's just like, this is a high ceiling, but low risk pick. And that's kind of what you're looking for on day three, and especially in round five. And what DA had said about the quarterback, you know, situation in the draft, when you know they were asking him, did you try to trade up to go get a quarterback in the first round? He's just like, that was never a question.
Yeah,
that was never a question at all on day one. And they said that they had their eyes on Rattler and they just let him fall to them at pick 150. And once he was there, I mean, once again, the value play, the best player available on the board, you can't pass up.
Well, I mean, every year we talk, like I bring this up because it's true. Like we talk about, why do we spend so much time at the Senior Bowl talking about the Senior Bowl? Why yep. do I, you know, invest so much of my energy in like, well, this guy was at the Senior Bowl, so I'm going to make sure I know I have a good read on him. Because that's what the Saints do.
So Fuonga was there.
Yes.
Kool-Aid, I think, got an invite, but he was not there because he was dealing with the foot injury.
Spencer was there. I don't know about the – I'd have to double-check
on
the other guys. I don't think Bub was not there.
Was Boyd there?
Boyd might have been there. He was East West Shrine.
Yes, that's right. Same thing with Azirum was
yeah.
an East West Shrine guy, and that's where Jari Evans had worked with.
But
him.
It's like every year you can pretty much bank at least two picks from the Senior Bowl. The Saints currently have three Senior Bowl MVPs from the game.
They love it,
in their quarterback room.
So start putting that in every mock,
right.
every single time.
So Kellen Mond is 2021. Right, Jake Hayner was 2023, and Spencer Rattler was 2024. All three of these guys were not just at the Senior Bowl; they were the MVP of the Senior Bowl.
Saints love their Senior Bowl guys.
They really do, and it's you understand why? Because A, you get a lot of top prospects there, especially now with the juniors allowed to go. So that kind of adds an extra level. It's a situation where these guys actually compete against each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the combine where you're just doing drills and everyone looks great in shorts. It's not like a pro day where you're just doing drills and everyone looks great in shorts and you make sure they have a tailwind when they're running their 40. Like, this is a situation where they're going against someone who wants to make them look bad because they want to make themselves look good, right? Like, you're not getting someone who's out there just, you know, going through the motions because they're working for you. This is someone competing with you, and I think that gives you a picture of a prospect that you do not get from a lot of these scouting events, from a lot of these workouts, you know? And so every year we talk about this, the Saints value it. They have the ability to just put their entire scouting staff in a minivan and drive 2 hours to Mobile.
Right.
And, you know, it's going to be this case. It was the case this year. It's going to be the case next year. Do not sleep on the Senior Bowl when it comes to the Saints in the draft.
I'm double-checking real quick here. I think was Jordan Jefferson was at the Senior Bowl, the
yes.
LSU defensive
tackle. He got in a fight with Christian Haynes.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I was about to point out was that kind of fight that everyone saw. Like, you're looking at guys that are really trying to make themselves look impressive. Like, they're getting physical with each other. And
Trevor Penning was there too doing the same
thing. Leatu Latu was at the Senior Bowl as
yes.
well, right? So
yes.
I mean, going back to Talisa Fuonga, like,
and they competed.
You
right.
saw like the reps that they had against each other. And I feel like we kind of – I don't want to say we glossed over Fuanga because I think that he's an immediate impact player, a plug-and-play type of guy at right tackle. But when you talk about him as the best right tackle in the class as far as run blocking goes, he was also a really damn good pass protector. Like, he was a really improved pass protector as well. So you were seeing him go up against the first defensive player taken in the 2024 NFL draft in, like, one-on-one reps.
And winning them.
And he was standing up to him. Like, against Leiatu Latu, who the Colts obviously felt comfortable making the first defensive player off the board after the first 14 players were offensive pieces. And I think here's a stat for you, Jeff. This was via PFF a couple weeks ago. Taliese Fuanga gave up – Taliese, sorry. I'm getting into
You'll
Steve's
get there.
Head. No, I know it's Taliese. Steve keeps getting me mentally, whatever. Gave up zero sacks on 734 pass-blocking snaps in his time at Oregon State. So not only is he just a mauling run blocking right tackle, the best in the class, he's really, really solid at pass protection as well. Great, great pick at 14 overall.
I agree. And so to me, you know, well, I know Cullen's getting angry. He's giving the snap, snap motion. You know, when you're talking about names, my opinion, you got a year, right? So if you're, here's the thing. If you're still saying Brian Breesy, if you're saying Breesy wrong, that's on you
yes.
at this point. So if you're still saying the
I got Taliese over the weekend. Man, I'm upset with myself.
I absolutely love Taliese. I love that Mike Haas's first question to all of them were pronunciation.
Well,
it's
important to him.
It's
like literally his profession.
I'm happy he asked it.
He's got to say these names correctly, fast, and under stress.
Right.
So I understand where he's at. But all right, this is WWL. We are breaking down the Saints 2024 draft. We're going to get a lot more into it. We have audio from Spencer Rattler's college coach Shane Beamer that we're going to dive into in this next segment. A lot on that. Hit us up on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. Let us know what you think. Also want to dive into all these picks from LSU. There were six of them. Half of those guys are in Jacksonville right now, so we'll dive into that. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Colin Steele. This is WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back to football. Charlie Long, I'm Jeff Nowak, Colin Steele at the controls. And, you know, we're going to say back to football. We got a text early in the day. Saying, please don't talk about the Pelicans.
This is all draft, my
friend.
On
the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text. I only bring up one thing about the Pelicans.
Oh, no, don't do it, Jeff.
And it's that the Pelicans are so bad right now that Galveston, Texas is catching strays. I like Galveston. Have you ever been to Galveston? It's great mini golf, you know? The beaches are fine.
Shout out to Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, what a great line. I was dying. I was half asleep this morning catching up to that clip. And he's just Galveston.
Don't even
Texas.
Send him to Cancun. Send him to Galveston, Texas.
Oh, it was such a deep burn, but it was a
great moment.
It was earned. But no, we're not going to talk about the Pelicans. They're going to get swept, and we're going to be fine. I don't know. That's a whole other conversation.
Keep
for
on with
day.
The Rattler Hour, Jeff.
Yes, we're back to the Rattler Hour, and what I want to hear from is Shane Beamer, head coach at South Carolina, my dog's favorite head coach, and we're gonna get into it. This is Shane Beamer speaking with Saints Media about Spencer Rattler after the Saints took him at number 150 overall. Cullen, hit it.
Hey, Coach, thanks for doing this. Just let's start off. What are the Saints getting with Spencer Rattler?
I think they're getting a guy with a huge upside, fantastic person, somebody that I obviously, you know, have been around since 2019 when we were together at Oklahoma. So I think he's been through so much adversity. His story is he's weathered some storms from what happened at Oklahoma, some of the adversity he felt dealt with here at South Carolina with injuries and whatnot. But he's extremely talented. He's extremely hardworking. He's humble. And I know he's eager to get to work out there.
What do you remember from him, like when you guys, when he transferred to South Carolina, just at the end of that Oklahoma experience, what was he kind of like, and how did you kind of see him maybe take that and learn from it?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate that we were together at Oklahoma. I've known Spencer since he was a senior, I guess junior in high school, his junior year, when we were recruiting him at Oklahoma. I saw him come into Oklahoma. I think that I don't want to speak for him, but I would imagine coming to Oklahoma when he did was a great experience, because our starting quarterback when he got there was Jalen Hurts. So he was able to see how Jalen acclimated coming from Alabama to Oklahoma. And I would imagine that helped Spencer when he came from Oklahoma to South Carolina. And then certainly when he chose South Carolina, you're talking about a guy that going into the 2021 season, he was everybody's projected number one pick in the NFL draft. And he was on the, you know, one of the favorites to win the Heisman Trophy. And the season didn't turn out the way that he wanted. But from talking to people at Oklahoma, they had nothing but great things to say about him, how he handled that situation with Caleb and losing his job. And then it spoke volumes about our program that a guy like Spencer Rattler would choose to come here. So that was a big deal when Spencer Rattler made the announcement to come to the South, come join our program. And then when he came in, he was exactly like I thought he would be, hardworking, went right to work, didn't really say a whole lot, just tried to earn the respect of his teammates. And he did. He was a two-time captain here at Carolina and elevated our program and led us to some big-time wins over the last 2 years.
Coach, obviously, you know, you can't read a story about him. You can't read a scouting report about him where it talks about, you know, the perception of him early on, the adversity he faced. Is it fair that that sticks with him, or, you know, is it overhyped, or is it something he really did have to grow from it, and that is part of his good story?
You know, I think the biggest knock on him are people that I think the Netflix show that he did, which I've never watched in my life, but I've heard about this Netflix show that didn't portray him in a good light. But I can't imagine many people at the age of 17 would be proud of a Netflix show that was done on them. And then particularly with that, when you're part of a reality show like that, the producers, they can twist and shape the narrative however they want to make it look, make some people look a certain way. I never watched it. All I knew was what I saw with my own eyes, and I saw the way that people respected him and liked him in the football facility at Oklahoma. I know his family and how grounded he is. His mom and dad are awesome. If his dad ever called me during his time here at Carolina, it was only to thank me for the experience that Spencer was having at South Carolina. And his mom and dad are fantastic. Whole family's great. He's great, you know. So whatever that narrative is on the outside, if people are basing that off of something that he did at the age of 17, then in my opinion, shame on them. He's grown so much and has the respect of so many.
And then we just talked to Coach Loggins about those scouting reports also talk about how pro ready, quote unquote, his arm is, the system he played in, the throws he can make. I mean, is that true that the talent he's working with is even more pro ready than we'll find with a lot of guys making the transition from college?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think mentally he's going to be ahead of the time because he's really played in three different systems. He played in Lincoln Riley's system at Oklahoma. His first year here in 2022, we had a different offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield. He's at Nebraska now. And then Dow Loggins came in, and Marcus had spent some time in the NFL with the Panthers. Dow's obviously his whole career has been in the NFL. And we didn't change a lot when Dow came in, but there were some differences and some terminology and how he was coached and things like that as well. And Dow's a longtime coordinator and quarterback in the NFL, quarterback coach in the NFL. So that'll help Spencer. So mentally, I think he's going to be farther along than most quarterbacks because of what he's been exposed to. But then the talent speaks for itself. I mean, he can make any throw on the field. He's made some miraculous throws not miraculous, but impressive throws over the last couple of years. He can throw on the run. And he's a better athlete than people give him credit for, too. Whatever his 40 time was, 4.9 or whatever I heard. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. He's made some runs here in the last couple years and for us. And I think he's got just a big upside and his best football's in front of him.
Coach, was he a different type of player at South Carolina? Was he a little bit more relaxed? Did you see that in him?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. To me, that's one of Spencer's greatest strengths is his steadiness. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. I think that's an amazing quality in a quarterback and what, you know, Coach Allen wants out of his quarterbacks there in New Orleans. And that's Spencer. So to me, he was very much the same guy. He was probably a little bit, you know, more battle tested, seasoned, mature, whatever. That's what, you know, adversity and years will do to you. But I never once thought he was more relaxed. I mean, he's a guy, I've said this before publicly. I mean, he dealt with adversity at Oklahoma before, you know, everybody makes a big deal out of getting benched to Caleb. But people forget, you know, when Spencer took over as the starting quarterback at Oklahoma, he was replacing Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. And then he takes over as the starting quarterback, and we at Oklahoma, with him as our starting quarterback, we immediately lose our first two Big 12 games that year. We lose to Kansas State at home, and then we go up on the road and we lose to Iowa State. So here's this young freshman quarterback that's replacing three pros, and he starts out 1-2, but he never flinched. We went and played Texas that year. Coach Riley actually benched him in the first half of the Texas game in 2020. And then he put Spencer back in the game. He leads us to like a 4 overtime victory and then doesn't lose a game the rest of his career at Oklahoma. Leads us to a Big 12 championship. Then the next year, all the hype is about him going into the season. He loses his job. But throughout all that, in 2020, the highs and the lows, coming to South Carolina, I think that's one of his greatest strengths is he was the same guy all along, and I didn't really notice a difference when he was here.
What type of growth did you see in him on the field, specifically kind of the last 2 years at South Carolina?
I think a lot. You know, he really committed to getting in here, and our system is completely different than what the system he ran at Oklahoma Oklahoma with Coach Riley. So he really committed to getting in here, and I think off the field, learning our system for one, but just really trying to understand defenses and what they were doing. I mean, I spent most of my time in the quarterback meetings here at Carolina, and every time I walked in there, I mean, he's in there all the time. He's taking notes. He's on his iPad and really worked to understand the game better. And then on the field, I think just probably the biggest thing, and he continued to work on the fundamental part of it and getting better there with Dow, and then just getting he's grown so much because, to me, the adversity he's faced here. I mean, he was our offense last season. Our offensive line was decimated by injuries. We lost 6 offensive linemen to season-ending injuries last season. We started two true freshmen on the offensive line last season in what I consider the toughest conference in America that has the best defenses in America. So it wasn't an easy road to hoe for him last season, but I know from talking to a lot of NFL teams, that's one thing that really resonated with him was just how he handled that. You never saw him getting frustrated. You never saw him pointing fingers. He was positive. You know, one of my favorite moments from last season is he throws the game-winning touchdown pass against Kentucky late in the game. And on that play, we had a true freshman running back that hadn't really played much throughout the season that was in the game because of injuries. And he picked up a blitzing linebacker, and that allowed Spencer to step up in the pocket and throw the touchdown pass to Xavier Leggett. And, you know, our in-house media team caught it. And as soon as that play's over, you see Spencer come up to the freshman running back and tell him what a great job that was on that play to pick up that linebacker. And that's just who he is. And I know that impressed a lot of teams, and that's the kind of guy the Saints are getting.
All right, that was South Carolina head coach, Gamecocks head coach, Shane Beamer.
Beamer Ball.
I don't know if it's technically Beamer Ball if he does. I think that's Willie Beamer.
Yeah, I'm just.
Or is it Willie Beamer? What is the old Beamer?
Frank Beamer.
I'm thinking Willie Beeman.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, who's
this is the guy
Beamer?
From Any Given Sunday?
Is there, like a grandpa, I just don't know about.
Willie Beeman, Jamie Foxx, best NFL, best quarterback of all time, one of the top fake quarterbacks you'll ever see. Yeah. It kind of reminds me. So Taliese Fuanga, just for a quick aside.
Yeah,
when he talks, he was asked how do you get nasty, and he says he's just like, well, I think about like, oh, this guy's talking about my mom, like Bobby Boucher. You know, so anyway, we could have a whole segment on our rankings.
I was double checking this. It is Frank Beamer.
It's Frank Beamer.
No,
Virginia Tech, right? Beamer ball.
The picture that I love from Frank Beamer is: have you ever seen like the 0-0 score line between Virginia Tech and Wake Forest at the end of regulation? Like there was such a disgustingly ugly game in college football, and it's just a picture. I'll have to show it to you during a break of Frank Beamer, and he's so fired up. He's like, "We're going to OT, and it is 0-0."
Just like we drew it up.
It's one of my favorite college football pictures.
But all right, back to Rattler. You know. Yeah, you know, Shane says Rattler. I don't know. I am
is that
curious.
An accent thing? Maybe?
I don't know, but I think it's Rattler.
I think it's Rattler.
You think it's Rattler like a D?
Rattler
like
no. That's just my accent. Rattler.
So you think it's Rattler?
Rattler.
Because I've heard Rattler. I've heard Rattler. I've heard Rattler.
I think it's with T's.
I think it's like a rattlesnake.
Yeah. No. So anyways,
way aside. But you know, one of the things that he talked about, and I think this is the real conversation, is okay. You know, why did Spencer Rattler fall so far? And, you know, they talk about the QB1 show, and, like, you say, hey, no one's really talking about that. They're talking about the tape. They're talking about the interviews. But, no, Ian Rappaport, he came out and said, this is something that people are actually – like, it's hard to erase that memory, that image of him, like, just trashing his backup.
Acting like a jerk.
Because there's a clip on Twitter now of, you know, the backups missing throws in a QB drill, and he's just trashing them, and he's breaking them down. And – you know, I think that is weighing on people, and it's probably not fair,
and,
right?
Because he was 17 years old, and once again, Rappaport is on this. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network has reported that...
This isn't something we're making up.
No, it's not at all. That, like, the perception that some, you know, NFL front offices got from him from a show that was recorded when he was 17 years old is part of the reason, like, they're taking the talent and the arm talent and the production in college out of it, and they're looking at character concerns. And some of those teams didn't want to spend a day two pick on this guy. And that's why he fell into the fourth and into the fifth round. And at that point, it's just like the Saints, this is worth a shot.
Yeah.
So, and as Beamer was saying, it's not really fair to Spencer.
You grow, you mature.
Yeah, to kind of judge him on a show that was recorded when he was 17 years old.
Here's the thing. If that's really why he's there in the fifth round, I feel even better about
that
pick.
100%.
Because, yes, you can grow.
Because you heard him talk.
Think about yourself. Think about yourself as a 17-year-old person. Are you the same person you were at 17? You don't think that the values you have as a person? I'm 34 now. I'm twice as old as I was at 17. I shudder to think if I was the same person emotionally right now as I was at 17, who would I be as a person?
And you heard him talk in our interview with WWL Radio. He talked to the media as well. On top of that, he sounded like a really mature, like,
good
individual.
Is it an act? Are you saying that?
He's coming on to the station and he's introducing himself to the Who Dat Nation, the team that just spent a draft pick on him, kind of fulfilled his dream of playing in the NFL. And he's going to come on and have an act that he's a mature guy now?
No, get
out of here.
And if the video of him getting picked, you know, he's kind of like, this is a reset, right? This is all I needed. We're starting from here.
Yes.
That's no longer
he's
a part of the
chance.
Conversation.
He's got his opportunity.
That's the last time he has the answer about that is, I'm on an NFL team now. We're going to get this going. And I think that's, you know, I'm again, if that's why he's there, if that's why he dropped, I feel even better about it.
I agree.
Because I think that is, you know, really just
it's ludicrous,
foolish
man.
At the end of the day. But – all right, this is WWL. We are recapping the Saints 2024 draft. We're going to get more into some text messages in this next segment, talk about some of the picks that we loved. And then in the final 30 minutes, we're going to talk about some of the other NFC South draft classes, make fun of the Falcons a little bit, and go from there. This is WWL. We're live on FMAM.com and the Odyssey app. Stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, coming back in on WWL, our draft recap show, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. This is going to be a quick segment. I did want to get into the LSU picks that have went just to tell you where they are, and we can have some quick notes on them. Obviously, everyone probably knows first round, three LSU Tigers off the board. First time since 2020, sir. They've had three or more picks in the first round. Jaden Daniels, number two, to the Washington Commanders. Malik Nabers, number six, to the Giants. And then my favorite pick of the draft, really, Brian Thomas Jr., number 23, to the Jaguars. That's a steal, in my opinion.
They traded down and still got the guy that they wanted, so good for Jacksonville.
I think he could end up being the best wide receiver out of this draft class at the end of the day.
Wow, yeah. Really?
I really do. And it's an upside play. Maybe not year one, but year three, I would not be surprised if we re-rank this and he's on top. But we got a quick segment, so let's just put a pin in that.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll move on.
I've been saying it, but either way. Okay. Number 48 overall, Mason Smith to the Jaguars. You think he's overdrafted? I think that's about where he was going to go.
But I thought it was overdrafted. I thought that he was going to be a third-round guy, but he goes kind of middle of the second round.
Yeah.
48 overall to Jacksonville. Jacksonville eventually doubled down and took Jordan Jefferson.
We'll get to that. That's 116. They took three LSU players all in Jacksonville. It's going to be a fun locker room for them. Pick number 189, final pick of the draft for LSU, Mekhi Wingo, a guy who probably, if he went out last year, would have been much higher than this.
Well, I mean, you're looking at Mekhi Wingo. He was tons of production. The issue was that he got injured. So, I mean, I think he was a little bit underdrafted. I think Detroit probably got a steal with him in the sixth round. I thought maybe he would have been like a fourth round pick. I was kind of surprised he fell out of the third round. He ends up going in round six. That's just somehow sometimes how the draft goes, I guess.
I agree, but still interesting. Really rough year for LSU's defense. They had three players drafted. Good for them. Good for those guys. But all right, we're going to hit the final break here, bring you to the top of the hour. We're taking you up till 12:30. Recap in the NFL Draft 2024, Saints and otherwise. This is WWL. All right, closing out hour two on our WWL Draft Recap show. We mentioned the LSU players who got picked in the draft, but I do want to mention the LSU UDFAs who landed out there. You got Omar Spates, who went over to the Rams. You had center Charles Turner, interior line, going to the Patriots. Then you had Andre Sam, safety, landing with LSU. And then I want to say it was Ovie Igufo. Did you mention where'd he go?
Giants,
He's not on this list that I had, but I think Ovie Igufo also signed with the Giants. But the biggest surprise, you know, Jaquan Jackson ended up with the Titans. We should mention that.
Pick
a guy I really like. He's teaming back up with the Tajay Spears, the Titans. You know, I think there is something to be said there. I think teams do go back to their familiar haunts in terms of, we feel like we got a good read on this guy last year. Why not go back and take another guy out of that Tulane offense? But Michael Pratt ended up dropping all the way to the seventh round. And, you know, like Spencer Rattler went in the fifth. You know, the QBs dropped. But to see Jordan Travis go before Michael Pratt was kind of stunning.
And Joe Milton.
And Joe Milton.
Joe Milton went in the 190s to the Patriots.
Pratt ended up on the Packers. What was your kind of impression
there? We got a text saying about this. The shocking thing was the way that Tulane's quarterback fell, and I 100% agree.
Yeah.
You're looking at Michael Pratt. I thought that he was going to be maybe a third-round pick. He falls all the way to the seventh.
Yeah.
He goes at 245 overall, and it's like, what just happened?
He was so late that he was in a pool.
I don't know why he fell as far as he did. There must be some kind of medical concern that we just don't know about.
Medical? Maybe he didn't do as well in his interviews as maybe we thought he would.
It's hard to believe that he went so deep. Like, he had a foot injury, and he played through it, but there's no way that should have dropped him all the way to the seventh round, Jeff. That was stunning to me.
It is wild, but this is WWL. We're going to be coming back, recapping some other draft classes. Keep it locked.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.